Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
This morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16 is the text I just held before you. The text will particularly be considered this morning. In August, we have been devoting our Sunday mornings to rolling out and the reworking of our discipleship pathway, which you can see more or less on the screen this morning. If not, you can see it in the bulletin, the cover of the bulletin. The discipleship pathway is simply a picture that helps us to visualize and describe habits and rhythms that mark the life of disciple. A disciple is one, as we saw last week, who gathers, who grows, who serves, and who goes. This is the pathway we'll be considering more this evening at our family meeting at 5 o'clock tonight to talk about some of the trellis that we will put in place to help us do this so that we walk as disciples of Jesus Christ. To be sure, before we go any farther, a disciple is one who comes to Jesus by repenting of their sin and trusting in Jesus by faith. I don't want to mislead you to think that somehow doing these things makes you a disciple of Jesus, but these are rhythms of those who are disciples of Christ. One Christian thinker, Dallas Willard, said it, I love how he said it like this. He says, grace isn't opposed to effort. So being saved by grace is not opposed to seeking to gather, grow, serve, and go. Grace isn't opposed to effort, but it is opposed to earning. And so this is not ways to earn the favor of God, but those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, how can we walk as disciples of Jesus Christ? What are some of those rhythms of grace-driven effort where God is glorified, the church is strengthened, and the community impacted by the disciples that gather at Riverside Church in River Ridge? In all of this, our goal is to know and become more like Jesus. And last week, we considered that a disciple who is seeking to know Jesus and become like Jesus will make it their habit to gather with God's people, particularly on Sunday morning, the resurrection morning of Christ, where we gather in worship. Today, we're going to see that another habit of a disciple is a disciple is one who desires to grow. First, we're going to consider what growing and what maturity looks like. And second, we're going to kind of look at what, see that, I believe that growing happens best in groups. So growing as a disciple, and then I want us to consider at the end of this, growing in groups is an excellent way to do that. So the main point this morning is that we will grow as disciples of Jesus and grow in groups together. So are you ready? Ephesians chapter 4. One thing that we can see before we even get into Ephesians chapter 4 is that we as people, as image bearers of God, were designed and made to grow, to mature. We see this from the beginning when God created man in his own image. He made them male and female. And then what did he say? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. There is this God-given design for all of us that we desire to grow and to fill the earth with the glory of God. We should, as we are designed to do. That's living according to God's good design for our lives. And so I want you to know that we are made for this, to mature and to grow, to fill the earth with the glory of God. Psalm chapter 1, maybe you remember this. How blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And what does the psalmist say? He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, and in due season he will prosper. And so there's this point in Psalm chapter 1 where the psalmist is saying that we are designed to root ourselves in the law of the Lord that we might mature and grow and prosper. Jesus tells this in John chapter 15. He says that as disciples of Jesus, we are to abide in him, to abide in the vine. And as we abide in the vine and he prunes us and we start to grow, we will bear fruit. And apart from him, we can do nothing. But in him, he allows us to mature and grow as his life flows through us. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 and 2. He says, long for the pure milk of the gospel as you grow up into your salvation, if indeed you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So in all of this, we are designed for this. The Bible talks about growing and maturing. And even as, especially as people who are being remade into the image of God, as we are saved, we grow up into that salvation. Those that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, from that tasting, we desire to know the Lord and His goodness and His kindness through His word more and more and more. And as we live in the kindness and the goodness of our God, we begin to grow and mature, as Peter says, we grow up into our salvation, walking in His kindness, we mature and grow. And so we are made to mature. We're made to grow. And isn't it joyful to watch someone mature and grow? You see this if you had kids or just watch kids. It's fun to watch them grow to the point where they can actually dress themselves and brush their teeth and bathe themselves. It's a glorious thing to watch people mature. 10 years ago, that wouldn't be possible for some kids. But now they're growing up and there's great joy in watching them grow and mature. There's great joy watching a garden grow and mature and take root and bear fruit, and you get produce from it. There's great joy in that. And I think this is, you know, something ingrained in us that we are designed for this. And so we are told that we see in the scripture that we are people who grow and mature. And now let's consider growing to maturity. What does that look like In the context of a local church? What does that look like maybe in the context of a spiritually healthy church? Because if we as individuals are this, and we are all stones in the temple being built up into the temple, where this is who we are individually, we all grow individually. There's truth to that, but we also grow together. Growing to maturity. That's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 4. What does a spiritual, healthy, maturing church look like? He begins that chapter talking about, do you see it there? I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have been called, with humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so when Paul begins this section in Ephesians that we know as Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about walking in a manner worthy of the gospel, living out this gospel identity together, living out that you've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, working that out corporately, unified together. What does this look like? He talks about this. There's this diversity in the body of Christ. And then he quotes, very hard to understand at a first reading, but he's quoting Psalm 68, which is a psalm of victory. And so what he has in mind here is that the victorious, ascended Christ, who came to earth, who died and rose again, descended and coming again, this glorious, victorious Christ gifts the church with people that have been gifted in all sorts of ways. There's some prophets, some teachers, some shepherds, evangelists. And so he's saying that the Lord, having here triumphed over sin, death, hell, and grave, our Savior gives His congregation, this local church, spiritually gifted people that they might minister to the church. And so that's what he's starting to flesh out for us here. That there we are walking in a manner together worthy of the gospel. One of the ways the Lord does that is He gifts the church with certain people. And there's a whole nother sermon in those people, but we want to keep pressing on to where we are this morning, that these gifts, which extend the ministry of Jesus on this earth, these gifts at work among us, some are saints, some are shepherds, and do you see it there, and teachers, this is verse 11. Here's what all of this all these gifts that the Lord gives local congregations, all these people and individual, these aren't the only spiritual gifts, by the way. You all have some sort of spiritual gift. We'll talk about that more tonight. But in all of this, look at to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Here, do you see this? For building up, maturing, growing the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to, do you see here? To mature manhood, another growing up and maturing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So starting to put all this together. We're made to mature, to grow, to fill the earth with His glory. God gifts us with a church body to help us grow up, giving us all sorts of gifted people. And we're part of a body to help us mature. So, what should we be looking for in our growth, in our maturity as a church? Because what we begin to see here in building up the church is he's not talking about put all the programs, put all the things in place, and then get a bunch of people, a bunch of pawns to help fill those programs out. That would be like a gardener building a trellis in order to look at the trellis and say, look at that trellis. You build a trellis for what? So that the vine, the people, will grow. If you do it right, the structure and the trellis is not what you're looking at. Like, wow, look at all of those cucumbers. Look at those vines that are healthy and the green leaves that are spread out. And look at those yellow blossoms. And do you see the fruit and the growth? You don't focus on the structure and the thing. That's just to help support. So what he's talking about here is people maturing. The church maturing, the church growing. So what should this look like? He gives four things here that I think we see. As God gives the church all sorts of gifted people to help us mature, to help us to grow. So what are we looking for? What are signs of maturity? Maybe we can say it like that. What are some signs of maturity? Look at verse 4:13. Equip the saints until, look at verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, so that's the growing up maturity, to the measure, focus here, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. And something that Paul gets across to us right out of the gate, that a certain sign, the telltale sign of maturity and growing up into your salvation, that Christ is the measure and Christ is the goal of our growth. That we are to mature and to grow so that we look more like Christ. Christ is the standard. So when we ask, how are we maturing? How are we growing? Really the question Paul is saying here is, how much do I look like Jesus? How much do you look like Jesus? And what are some of those habits you have in place to grow that help you to begin to look like Jesus? Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as I said before, as we grow up into our salvation, we taste and we see that the Lord is good, and we hold fast to the goodness of Christ. And so this means this maturing disciples of Jesus Christ is growing disciples of Jesus Christ. We are people that cling tightly to Christ. That Christ is our hope in life and death and everything. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. So we ask the question, how tightly are you clinging to Christ as your only hope? As your measure of fullness? As your standard? As your goal, Christ the source and the desired outcome. Look what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 2. Look up here. Look up a little bit to that. Walking in the manner, we take on the character of Christ. You see in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And so maybe coming... connecting those two dots for us here. How much do I look like Christ? How much am I maturing? How humble am I? How gentle am I? How patient? How do I bear with one another, with each other, with other Christians and other people in love? What does maturity look like? Paul says here, maturity is to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what does maturity look like? Maturity involves Christ's likeness. We see something else that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2, talking about growing up into maturity. Not only is Christ the measure and goal, listen to what he says as we continue on. So that, this is verse 14 now, so that we may no longer be children. So there's that terminology again. We're no longer children, but we're growing up. No longer children. So what do grown-ups look like? Are people that are on their way to growing up? They're no longer tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And so a second sign of maturity as you're growing in Christ, I believe, is that we see this doctrinal stability. That we begin to understand the things of the Lord and study the things of the Lord and understand doctrine and truth that the scripture makes known to us. And you know that, see, even for a kid, it says no longer be like a kid. Do you know that kids have a real struggle telling if something is real or pretend? Kids are very good at playing pretend. And you go to a theme park with a kid and you have a very hard understanding. Is this real or pretend? And because they're not real, we're sure yet of how all of this fits together. And so it goes with Christians. If we don't know reality, if we don't know what the word says, we're going to be tossed to and fro by every conversation that we have, every person we come in contact with, because we lack stability. We're not going to know, is this real or pretend? What is truth? What is false? And we're going to be like kids, easily being able to manipulate it with what's truth and what's reality. So here Paul says, if you want to grow up and no longer be children, it involves doctrinal stability. We have to know things so we don't follow everything that we hear or see. So we won't be easily deceived. So that we won't fall to schemes and craftiness and cunning and all of these things that we might run into in the world. And so in Ephesians 4, Paul's talking about walking in a manner, a worthy church, worthy of people walking worthy of the gospel, a disciple who is maturing and growing into adulthood. They're marked by Christ's likeness. They mature in doctrinal stability. And also we see here, look at verse 15 and 16. Rather, it starts to get real hard here, I think. Speaking the truth in love, so maturity means we speak truth, this doctrinal stability, in love, and we are to grow up in every way into him. Here it is again, who is the head into Christ, that Christ likeness again, Christ the center, the source, and everything. But do you notice what Paul's coupling together here? Because this is real hard. And sometimes you see this, none of them that are here today, but sometimes in seminary students you see this, that their knowledge outpaces their character at some point. And that happens, I saw that in the own seminary that I went to, in my own heart, my own life, that your knowledge starts to outpace your character, and you're really good at speaking truth. You're not so good at speaking the truth in love yet, because there's maturing that needs to happen. I remember that in my own life. It's a great struggle. It's a great struggle for an immature Christian to speak the truth in love. Truth without grace is not really truth, and grace without truth is not really grace. We need to put the two together. I love how one theologian said it like this. He said, love without truth, or grace without truth, is sentimentality. I'm not sure if I said that word right. I always get tongue-tied on that one. It's sentimental. It's just sentimental. It supports and affirms, this is grace or truth without, this is love without truth. It supports and affirms, but keeps us in denial about our flaws. Truth without love is harshness. It gives us information, but in such a way that we can't really hear that information. God's saving love in Christ, he goes on to say, is marked both by radical truthfulness of how bad and sinful we really are, and this radical love, this unconditional commitment to us, and this commitment strengthens us and helps us to handle that truth because we know that we are loved in Christ. And so Paul is telling us here that if we are to mature, that truth must be joined with love, and love must be joined with truth. Maturity involves knowing the truth and helping one another apply the truth in love. Are you maturing and growing as a Christian? That's the third thing that Paul says. There's a fourth thing that I think he points out here. So one, our measure of maturity is how much are we becoming like Christ. Another thing that we see is our doctrinal stability. How much truth are we growing in our knowledge of our faith? Also, we're seeing that maturity involves joining truth with love. Having those things together is necessary. And a fourth thing we see here that we'll get to our final big point of growing better in groups. Listen to what he says in chapter 4, verse 16. So in all of this, growing like Christ, doctrinal stability, truth and love, look at verse 16. Another sign of maturity. From whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. So God gives it gifts, equipping saints for work of the ministry. And now we're seeing every joint, every ligament, every part is at work. Do you see that? And then he goes on to say, when each part is working properly, so spiritual maturity is not just something for the shepherds and teachers and apostles and prophets, evangelists. It's for every person who's part of the temple, everyone who is sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is every believer. When we're all working properly, then that makes, do you see it here, the body grow and mature so that it builds itself up in love. So I think that's the fourth thing that Paul points out to us here, that a growing, maturing congregation and people maturity involves all of us. You don't mature alone. Yes, we are to have personal devotion and grow as individuals in Christ, but we don't go at it alone. Maturity involves all of us. We need each of us. I need you, and we need everybody as part of this if we are to mature and grow. And that's what Paul begins to flesh out in the rest of Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 5. And that's what he begins to unpack even more, how this works out. As we are to be angry and do not sin, he says, give no opportunity to the devil, but to love one another and to forgive one another, he goes on to say. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So we need one another to show each other Christ and to help us become like Christ. And then he goes on to say that we imitate God together as beloved children. And then he goes on to say we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Here's my point. There's a ton of one another's that follow this. And what he is saying is that we're all together in this, that we need each other in order to grow. So that's what maturing looks like. That's what growing looks like. Final big point. We mature and we grow together. We mature and grow together. And did you know that in 2023, the Surgeon General put out a paper about the loneliness epidemic that we've experienced in our country? Did you know that that was a thing? The loneliness epidemic of 2023. There's a whole paper you can find about this. And in that, he writes that loneliness is far more than just a bad feeling. It harms both individual and societal health. It's associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, and anxiety, and premature death. The mortality impact of being socially disconnected is similar to that caused by smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. That's pretty crazy. That to be socially isolated, to try to go after life on your own, and being isolated can damage our health. That's enough to motivate us, I would hope. there should be a bigger motivation here. That isolation will damage our spiritual health where we do not mature and grow as we were designed to do. And so we see that in Acts chapter 2 that the early church made it a habit to gather together, to grow together in groups. They had their social structure there with the early church where they gathered together to help one another look like Christ. And so part of our growth as individuals, part of our growth as church, is us being together in groups so that we can grow together. And look, growing together in groups is not something that makes you a Christian. You know, small groups and Sunday school groups are really a modern type of thing. Like grandparents and great-grandparents probably didn't go to Sunday school. But they had church community that they experienced that often we don't get apart from those groups. So we don't do groups just to do groups, Sunday school and small groups and things like that, but because in those places is where we experience Christian community. It's where we study the Bible together, pray together, and build relationships together. It's where we have accountability and care and responsibility for one another. That we see in the early church, and we see what Paul's saying here in Ephesians chapter 4, that God uses the community around us to help us change and grow. God puts people in our lives to help us change and grow. I'll say something else about having kids. You don't know. I didn't know the sin in me until I had three other people living in my house. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know what I'm saying. Like the problem is not them, right? The problem is that impatience, lack of humility, sin was in me. All they did was help shake that up and bring it to the surface, right? The problem's not them. It's me and the sin of my whole life. When God puts people in our lives, sometimes it does that. It shakes us a little bit. And when that shakes us, it's like a water bottle without a top on. It starts to shake and all those things come out. And the problem is not that the water bottle is being shaken. It's that this water is in it and it's starting to spew out because that mess was in you already. God puts people in your life to help prune you and grow you. And he puts community around you for even things like that to shake you up, to challenge you, to help you grow. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 15, abide in me, and some things need to be pruned. And God puts people in your life to help you do that. And maybe the reason we don't grow sometimes, we don't put people around us to help us prune and grow that the vine might bear more fruit. So God uses community around us to help us change, to bring those things out in your life, to help you grow. The care for you, proximity as you're around people and you're aware of their problems. Proximity plus awareness equals responsibility. You know and are responsible how to care and pray for people that you are around. And so at the end of this, God has gifted this church with all of you. And God has called each of you to love one another and to be an agent of growth and change in the life of the people that you are sitting around. So you show up for one another. You help each other dwell in the Word together. And you encourage and challenge one another. You help provide the soil and the tools to help cultivate flourishing and maturity. A disciple of Jesus has rhythms that cause them to gather with other disciples. And then as they gather with other disciples to grow in the word together, it's when you're around other people that you will grow to be like Christ, those signs of maturity. It's around your other people that you will grow in knowledge as you open the word and study the word and discuss the word and ask questions about the word together. It's in these groups and being around other people where you start to grow in love and learn how to love one another and how to be truthful with one another and to love each other in truth and put those two things actually together. It's in groups where we find out how we can contribute, how we can be that ligament, how we can be that part that joins it together. It's in those groups that we find our place and find out how it is that we are designed to serve that body as people speak into our lives and see our giftings and all of these things. And so let's just end by saying a disciple has rhythms, a rhythm of gathering and a rhythm of growing. It's God who gives the growth. But as we gather together, as we form groups together, we will grow together, and growing together, we will be more like Christ together, so that in all things, the measure, the standard, the source, and the goal is that Christ will be preeminent among us as he transforms us from one degree of glory to the next with the help of one another. Let's go ahead and pray.